You're listening to Thursday Night's Arena, and I'm delighted now to be joined in studio by the acclaimed concertina player Cormac Begley, who's in Dublin to promote his headline Dublin gig at Vicar Street on April the 23rd. He will also be the guest of Ye Vagabonds at their concert in Vicar Street tomorrow and Saturday night. Delighted to have you here. I know you're going to start with a great track, but there's a great story behind this track that I want to hear. And it has to do with the Irish phrase, Cadeshin Dantashin.
Yeah, well, this morning, firstly, thanks very much. I'm delighted to be here with you again, Sean. But today I was in Halla na Maree, and it's one of the most westerly halls in West Kerry. And I was playing music with my sister, Cliona, in Halla na Maree for about 100 students from Gaeltacht schools back in Western Dingle. And a guy called Christy McNamara had been teaching them for years, but it was kind of a getting together and a day out for the kids. And I came straight from there, and I was trying to think what I'd play for you tonight, and I decided to play the tune Cadeshin Dantashin, because it reminds me of my grandfather who used to run that dance hall back in the 60s, and it wasn't very popular within the clergy to be running Gaelies on Christmas Eve. And he'd done it for a number of years, and the clergy and the priest and the church used to say that the devil was back in that hall. My grandfather was once interviewed by Joe Duffy, and Joe Duffy asked him, how did he deal with the pressure from the clergy? And my grandfather simply said, we ignored them. So this tune reminds me of my grandfather, because the tune roughly translates as what I do with my life, and as long as I'm not hurting anybody, it's really none of your business. So there's a kind of defiance in the attitude to this tune.
Yeah, there's a sense of, what is it to you?
Yeah.
What business is it of yours?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was listening to you playing it earlier on as we were doing our sound checks, and I thought, if the concertina was going to tell you to get lost, now I possibly used a slightly more colourful language when we were talking about it earlier, but if the concertina was going to tell you to get lost and mind your own business, this is how the instrument would do it.
Yeah.
Right, okay, let's have a listen. Cadeshin Dantashin. Absolutely gorgeous stuff. Cadeshin Dantashin is how it kind of started out, that tune, Cormac.
Yeah.
It went a few other places then after that, didn't it? We had three tunes all together, how remember, or had you four? No, we had three.
Three tunes, and the second one is called An Gael Óglaigh, or The Gallow Glass, which is probably in honour of my grandfather too, of that lineage, because the Begleys going back were mercenary warriors.
Beag Ógaoibhle.
Small warriors or small heroes. So, and then the third one, I don't have a name for it. But
What's extraordinary is the physicality of you playing. People cannot have seen just how much you move as you play. They've heard you stomping the feet and really been involved in it. But you're really out of breath playing it. And that's... In terms of your concertinas, the one that you were playing there is a small enough one, and it's very agile, very lithe.
Yes.
Which particular concertina is that, first of all? And then talk to me about the physicality.
Well, this is a treble concertina. It's probably the most common.
The standard one.
And a German-made instrument. Jürgen Suttner made it, great maker in Germany. But it's the lighter instrument. The physicality, I've actually spent two nights down in Ballydehob with an instrument repair called Stephen Chambers, and he doesn't like to see me coming because he spent 2 days trying to repair the bellows. I try and embody the some of the tunes and the meaning of the tunes, like the intention of the tunes or the intention of the composer of the tune. And if you're agile and being able to adapt yourself to the intention of different pieces of music, it kind of manifests physically in the instrument, whether it's in a soft, slow air or a lighter tune, to something with the attitude of caudation, dentation.
Yeah, so. Which is a little bit more sarky, I suppose, and not quite as on the nose. It's a little bit more pulled back. But it also struck me that it makes total sense then that you would have been involved with Michael Keegan Dolan of Chuck Dowsa on Mom, because I mean that physical side of that, the particular dance show, the physical side of your playing fits right in with that.
Yeah, and Michael was brilliant to work with. I learned so much from Michael and his process, and working with the dancers and everyone involved, but in particular the dancers and Michael's way of working and trying to embody the music. And a lot of credit going to Michael.
And while I know that obviously it's a solo show in Vicar Street, there will be others in along with you, and you've such a broad range of collaborators across different genres and different styles. I mean, Ye Vagabond, you're going to be playing in their show as well. When did that kind of collaborative process start between yourself and Brian and Dermot?
I got to know them years ago, I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, and seen them around the sea, like around Dublin, as I was living in Dublin at the time. And we met in Trinity College one time, and in Walsh's, and we sat in playing tunes together. We ended up doing a music network tour together as well. But since, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've been playing a lot together. It was the last shows we did before lockdown during lockdown, when we had the opening, we ended up playing around 10 shows around. And we've been playing together since, and recently recorded on their album, which is great. It's great to be involved with them, yeah.
And Peaky Blinders, of course. We had Lisa O'Neill talking to us about the final scene of Peaky Blinders. You're in there with her.
Yeah, well, Lisa's amazing. Lisa's one of a kind and a great friend, and she's a great person to be around. So I was delighted when we got the call, and she called me to be involved in that particular project. We ended up recording that up in Cabin Teely, and spent two nights there, Ruth O'Mahony and Colin McInumera, and... special time and special project you're involved in.
And did you actually see the final episode? Because you're a big fan. You're a big fan of Peaky Blinders.
I'm actually not. I never watched Peaky Blinders until I got the call for that. But we were working with the visuals of that last scene, and I've gotten into it since. I think I'm in the second series at the moment. I'm trying to catch up to the end.
And the fact that it was a Bob Dylan song, had you been a big fan of his work previous to that?
I knew who he was. I knew some of the songs, but I wouldn't call myself a big fan. So I kind of felt like a bit of maybe an outsider.
But brings an interesting perspective, though, when it's not, in inverted commas, your style of music, you know. Maybe that rubbing of the two different genres together is an interesting alchemy.
I think so, and I put that down to Lisa's judgment, and she must have seen something and to ask me to be involved in that. But I find those collaborations in particular, like with Ye Vagabonds and Lisa, they're very, very challenging because they're outside of... they're kind of outside my bread and butter. I love playing traditional music. That's where I've come from. I'm very fortunate to play it and still play with some of my favourite musicians. But I do enjoy the challenge of playing with different
Of course, the ultimate collaboration that happens in your own case is with the family. I mean, you talked about playing with your sister this morning, in fact, in West Kerry. And, you know, I couldn't let the moment pass. I haven't seen you since the death of your Uncle Seamus, McCovrone. Dunclán Galera. And I'm sure everybody around the country was so shocked by that awful news. But it was another blow and a very bad year for the family, a difficult year for the family.
Very difficult 6 months between the burning of our ancestral home, the house that Seamus and my father and all my aunties and uncles grew up in. It was there for 250 years, and it was strange that the night that, like, Footsparn had a tent up in my uncle's field, and for having weekend festival, there's a weekend festival on up there, and on Saturday night, the house went up in flames, and Seamus, God rest him, he spent the following months clearing out the house, and he worked more or less by himself. Like, I don't know anybody who worked as hard as Seamus. He was something else. Like, he helped me for 2 years ago for about 3 weeks, and helped my mother in terms of like clearing out places for around the house. And he'd be up at 8 o'clock, yeah, beeping the tractor, waking us up, and he'd be working until 9 o'clock at night. But we'll miss him very much. Like,
he's a singer and an accordion player. I mean, the concertina isn't that far away. It's a very close relative of the accordion. Was Seamus an influence on you in terms of the playing?
Big time, yeah. Massive influence. And not just the music. Like, he's a great singer, great musician, accordion player. But he massive impact just outside of musically. He's an uncle to some of my closest cousins, and spent a lot of time when I was around over in Ballinabuck. And just he's a larger than life figure. He had such an impact on so many people and so many different networks and so many friends around the place. So we're lucky to have had him.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I know Shalina Bioglich is back on, and TG Carrie yourself and the dog going around in Beauty the Van.
Yes, she's looking forward
to another little bit of that. However, you did bring the second concertina in with you.
I did.
So what is the second concertina and what are we going to hear?
Well, I'm going to play the bass concertina.
This is the big boy.
This is the big one. So it's a good thing I won't be chatting after this. this is a Dipper bass concertina, and I'm going to play O'Neill's Cavalcade.
And one of the things I love about this is your use of the air as a kind of, it's almost, it becomes a drum as much as it is a concertina.
Yeah.
Your instrument maker, I'm sure, loves that. You're a repairman.
He does.
All right. Well, listen, you get yourself set up there, and I'll give people details of all of the gigs that are coming up, etc. But here we have Cormac Begley and O'Neill's Cavalcade. It sounds like a person breathing. It actually sounds like a living being, and the way you put it in and out. I'm tempted to ask you to sing a song, Cormac. That Cormac Begley out of breath there after giving us O'Neill's Cavalcade. Cormac plays Vicar Street on April the 23rd, his own solo gig. There will be lots of surprise guests, and I think he'll be teasing us with those over the coming weeks. VicarStreet.com for bookings for that. And he's in part, he'll be in Vicar Street as well as part of the Yig Vagabonds gigs, which are tomorrow night, March the 31st, and the night afterwards, April the 1st. So there'll be a bit of fun, I would have thought, on that night as well. Cormac Mila Buechas, as Chalk the Chalk thing. Cormac Begley, great joy to have you here.